Earshot podcast. Shoot earshot podcast. Podcast, here it comes.
Is this the theme song? Have we decided on one yet? I don't hate that.
Oh,
one.
Well, yeah, I thought that was it. If you didn't like it,
but... I didn't hate it. I just
want me to try again.
Yeah, try again. Try okay. A different key.
Oh, a different key. Okay. Yeah. Na na na. No, I'm just singing in the same. I think that's the same key, actually. Do, re, mi, fa, so. Let's shoot your shot podcast. I just say the same thing again. I hate it. I take it back. We're going to hire somebody to make us a jingle.
Not us.
On Fiverr.
Welcome back to Shoot Your Shot. We took a minute to just work on our lives and businesses. So sue me. We took like a year off.
So sue us. We were busy.
Busy human beings.
Going for hikes.
Writing businesses. Creating businesses and keeping businesses afloat. Mm-hmm. So welcome back. This is the podcast. Wow.
The video, Shoot Your Shot podcast.
Shoot Your Shot podcast. Photo. See, this is why we don't take breaks. I get rusty.
The Shoot Your Shot podcast. The Shoot Your Shot. Listen, we didn't take a break. We've been not breaking.
Yeah.
In fact, we've been firmly not breaking. Mm-hmm. You know what's so funny? I get so nervous about like looking like we're failing at something because I'm like, oh, shit. We put out this podcast. We literally made an Instagram account. We made multiple episodes that we never put out.
We will.
You'll have heard them hopefully by the time you hear this one.
Yeah.
And I have this like, you know, just I think it's probably just a normal human thing where you're like, oh, deadly embarrassed. Like, oh, is that so sad? I'm actually completely over it. I don't care at all.
No, don't care.
DC, been busy working on a business that makes us money and just living our lives. And it's been so fun. Lots has happened since our last podcast. Like,
been wild.
I put out a whole course for wedding photographers.
You
like
did.
That's what we were working on at the same time as this. And I was like, you know, I mentored so many people out of that, did one-on-one mentorships. There's just only so much time in the day. Like,
and you partnered with a bunch of brands?
You're
an ambassador for a few people now, which is great.
Yeah, I went to Phoenix with Imagine. Yeah. I was like an Imagine employee for a week. It was really funny. Mm-hmm. What have you been up to this past, like, I don't know, 6 months to a year, whenever we started?
Just doing everything. Creating more podcasts for other clients who want podcasts. Yeah. So it's
you've been like, podcasting.
I've been podcasting, but not on podcasts that I own.
Create of your own. Yeah.
So this has been nice. It's been good practice, and we're excited to be back. If you don't know what the show is, Lindsay and I are sent text messages. We're sent Instagram DMs, we scrape the internet, we find questions to, you know, that pertain to photography and wedding photography, and we answer them.
Yeah, it reminds me of the 96.7 Chime FM, you know, call-in shows that we used to listen to with our parents in the 90s, specifically my mom and I. We would drive around the city, like, she'd pick me up from dance lessons, and we would go listen to either A, John Tesh Radio, Lovers and Other Strangers.
Oh,
I feel
best.
Like I probably referenced that in the last one, but I don't even care. It's just, it's an absolute nostalgia moment for me.
Yeah.
And then I loved, like, I mean, once I got older, like the Sue Johansson sex shows, you know, like people would call in with their very real problems. The funny thing for me about photography is that it's totally a choose your own adventure.
Totally.
There's no rule book. Even if you went to school for it, it's highly possible that you're given bad advice by a lot of people. And so we're just two more people that are about to give you some worse advice. You know what I mean? Like, you want some maybe reasonable advice? Take it from us. At least if you take our advice, you'll have a good time.
It's entertaining.
It'll be funny.
It'll be great.
No, we'll give you our best advice based on our own real experiences. Tim and I have shot hundreds of weddings collectively and separately. Mm-hmm. And, you know, not just weddings, but also like portrait sessions, commercial sessions. So I like to think we know a couple of things.
It's combined 20 years of experience.
Oh, 100%. And it's the funny thing is you know, not to jump into, you know, threads and some of the things that people have been talking about on the internet just too quickly. But one of the things that I've been seeing a lot on social media is people saying, I'm sick of learning from educators who haven't been where I am.
We're not working
right?
anymore.
They're not working. They're not working photographers. And I have a couple feelings about that because I do think if you're looking to somebody to be a full-time educator, I mean, you can only have so many full-time jobs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I do think that Taylor has found a really good balance. My husband Taylor has found like a really good balance of doing YouTube and teaching on YouTube, as well as still shooting. He's still actively working in the industry. But as his YouTube grows, his actual shooting in front of clients, it's just going to come back a little bit. I mean, the man's still shooting a lot.
Totally.
He does like behind the scenes videos at all of them so you can see them.
Yeah.
But there are educators that I know for a fact don't book any weddings. No. Like have said that aloud on the internet, have said, I don't have one wedding booked for this next and year.
Good for them. Business-wise, amazing.
If you are just teaching people about the skill set, by all means you do it. Mm-hmm. But like, don't let me hear you talk about marketing. No, thank you. Illegal.
Or market gear towards me that like, this is perfect.
Don't tell me how to do social media, baby.
You haven't done it.
I mean, you know how to do social media to gain clients that are photographers, right? So like, that's cool.
Totally fine.
But we are actually in the industry all the time. We're working at it day to day. Mm-hmm. Hence why the podcast, she comes and goes, because we have real clients that we're in front of all the time. So
that being said, we're going to be in Las Vegas, next week, the first week of March, interviewing other photographers and getting their opinions and input on these questions that you guys have for us. So look out for that. There'll be a special week-long edition. Not fully week-long, but we'll do a couple episodes there.
Yeah.
And yeah, just highlighting and featuring different photographers from international wedding photography industry. So yeah.
Yeah, I'm super excited about that. And this is the first year that WPPI is actually combining with Portrait Masters. I don't know if you even knew that. Mm-mm. So Portrait Masters is what I went to in Phoenix last year. Portrait Masters has been purchased by the company that owns WPPI.
Got it.
So where WPPI used to be a very, like, I would say wedding and portrait demographic for sure. Mm-hmm. Now there's going to be even more portrait photographers. So I'm excited to hear, you know, the Canadian market is so wildly different from the American market as far as photography.
Is. Very like, much so.
If I were to market anything having to do with wings or crowns or, you know, anything like that, that's not going to fly here. And that's like the thing there. People don't even know what seniors photography is in Canada.
And we're not even that, like people close to the border, like we have friends and I have friends in Iowa who have photographed seniors for like years. And he's like, why don't you do more seniors? And I say, I don't think that's a thing.
I would have to make that market here.
Yeah.
And honestly, I actually did consider it.
Did
you? My first year after WPPI, I considered it. The thing that I think we would have to do, okay, so maybe I guess because we probably have mostly Canadian listeners, what the seniors market is. So
yeah,
seniors,
we should describe that.
Seniors is not retirees. That's what I thought it was. We also don't call high school seniors here seniors,
no.
Really. We don't refer to them as that. We talk about grade 12s.
Yeah.
In the U.S. market, there's going to be some American that's like, Lindsay, that's so not what it is. But in the U.S. market, the senior photography market is as big, if not bigger, than the wedding industry, I feel like. Mm-hmm. The amount of money that people will invest in getting portraits done of their graduating teen is bananas, and I love it for them.
Yeah.
It's like their own branding session.
Yeah.
It's like, what's your personal brand? I'm a volleyballer. I do cheerleading. Yeah. I swim. Like,
it's
wild. They like wear their little outfits. They get their, you know, full hair and makeup done. And then they use those photos to submit to their yearbook. I didn't know that.
Okay.
That's the part I'm really fuzzy on, but okay. I'm fairly sure that that's the selling feature. So my thinking was I would have to disrupt the yearbook market in Canada. And truly, I don't have it in me.
That feels like a mob move. Like you have to take out someone in a higher place to get that.
Yeah. The other thing is people graduate at different ages here because sometimes they'll do like an extra year, like a victory lap. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I just don't know that it would fly here, but I digress. I am excited for WPPI / the Portrait Masters because, it's always just fun to see your friends. That's like fun. Like what a blast. Here are my random friends that I know from Virginia. Like it's funny. So today we have some questions.
We're so jazzed about
the questions. Also Tim has like evolved our setup so nicely. We've got a 3-camera setup. We've got what's that called? A mixer? I don't know. It feels like we're DJing. But it's too much now.
Okay.
but let's go to a question, Tim.
Let's do it. Let's go to question numero
uno. Oh my God. I'm so excited for this.
So
here it is.
This is scraped partially from Reddit.
This one is.
And partially from
my real life.
Personal life. So let's get into it. If you're listening to the podcast, we're going to read it out to you because, you know, we're doing video, we're doing audio. Hit it, Lindsay.
Okay. So this is a pared down version of a thing that you may have seen on Reddit if you're on Reddit, but if not, here it comes. I am a wedding photographer and my second photographer slept with the groom. The bride contacted this photographer and said, I have evidence that after my wedding, your second photographer started having an affair with my husband.
Incredible.
And I have all this evidence and now I want a refund. I want a refund because I got married and because of you and the person that you brought into my life, couldn't have happened any other way. Like the groom surely would have never strayed had he not met this perfect woman who's the second photographer.
Yeah.
You can already see where I'm going with this one. But the bride believes that she should have a full refund. Man, I feel for that bride. I totally feel for that bride. The reason that I said while I was reading that, that this came partially from Reddit and partially from my real life. So I felt like I had to, we had to include this one. Now that we're opening these things up, not to, not just to people that have submitted their questions, which we're going to continue doing that because I really love that. And I really love the voice notes. So if you have a question of any sort, of any kind, send us a little voice note on the Shoot Your Shot podcast on Instagram and We'll get to it. It'll be so fun.
It'd be great.
But I wanted to include this one because, first of all, it's sexy and it's funny. Well, it surely wasn't funny for the bride.
No.
But I had to include it because, no word of a lie, something very, 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 very similar happened to me when I was the main photographer a number of years ago.
Just be clear, that person is no longer in our lives. So
gone.
Not me. Not Taylor.
They're gone.
Not Marshall.
You will never run into them accidentally while spending time near me. That's for certain.
Yeah, if you're a couple of Lindsays and you're watching this, it's not
my happening. Second photographers don't regularly go out trying to get frisky with your guests. That's not going to happen. Not with your groom or your bride or anything. But I did have a second photographer who went missing during the dinner reception.
For how long?
The whole time.
Okay.
The entire time. And they smoked. And I have a, I don't have rules. Like, it's not like you've second shot with me. It's not like I have like rules, you know, especially because so many second photographers are my friends or become my friends.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I'm a pretty patently reasonable person to
outside
work
with. Being like a decent human being, just don't be a shithead.
Yeah. Have my clients as the front of mind.
Treat them like your own client, you know?
Yeah. Yes, care about them. And also be aware of optics. So when, so what I was going to say is I don't have a no smoking rule by any means. Smoking is very retro in Canada now. Most people do not smoke, I would say most of the time. There is always at every wedding a smoker's pit. I would not like to find my second photographer there for any amount of time. If they're a smoker, which I don't think I've had a smoker since this person.
No.
I would prefer that they go to their car. Go dip out to your car or something. Yeah. Right? But so this person was gone for almost all of dinner. I texted them, are you good?
No response.
Are you in the bathroom? Like, okay. What's are you fine? You know, like, what's going on then down there? I just feel like it's a tummy trouble or something. No response.
Okay.
Nary a response. And it wasn't until it came out later that this second photographer, who was a close friend of ours, who had a long-term relationship, I found out that they were having an also long-term affair with one of the bridesmaids of this wedding.
Unreal.
And I do not know for a fact where they were, but you know when you start to piece things together, you've been lied to, somebody's been sneaking around behind you, and the puzzle pieces all just fit together. And you're like, when you were with me, you were calling this girl, or you were sending messages to this girl, but she was in town. So you were at the same wedding with her.
Yeah.
She was gone. I mean, I have receipts. Many photos that I shot during dinner to show who was sitting at the table and who was not sitting at the table.
Yeah.
And this person was also not there. So, you know, I was genuinely concerned about how that relationship was going to go once, you know, the bridesmaid obviously is going to tell her the bride, who is her close friend, that this has been going on. And she's going to wonder, was I seriously paying Lindsay to bring a second photographer to not be there, mm-hmm. to be doing extracurriculars during my wedding?
Yeah.
And I was genuinely worried. I've done many shoots with this bride since then.
Mm-hmm. Good.
So if she does know, we're choosing to not talk about it. We've done like family stuff and, you know, family shoots and stuff since then. So that's been lovely. But I was genuinely worried that she was going to say, I want a refund for the second. And I would have happily have given it to her because I was so embarrassed.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I would have told him, you owe me money.
Yeah.
Why did I pay you?
At all.
For the whole reception. So let's go back to the much juicier one, which is the second photographer that was boning mm-hmm. the groom. Thoughts, mm-hmm. Tim?
Well, thoughts are, I don't have this in my contract. I don't have this as
don't
a
kill me.
As a as a line item or a section. So I wouldn't know where to begin. And if you put this kind of thing.
I gotta think our contracts, we have the same one. They probably cover it in some way.
We should review.
We should look like, do we have a morality clause? I don't know. We ruin your life moving forward.
Look it up right now. No, but I think this is the kind of thing that if you put in your contract, we'll just scare a couple to the point of like maybe not signing. You know what I mean? Like,
could
you
imagine?
This before?
I excuse the behavior of my seconds.
So maybe we call this an act of God, but it's not even that because I think
there's enough clauses in your contract that you would be covered for something like this. I think there's enough clauses that would say, like, basically, we're not responsible.
But we are responsible for our second photographers.
Of course, but am I responsible for them afterwards?
True. Here's a thought.
I did introduce the second to your husband's life.
Two to tango, am I right? So there's a bit of double jeopardy.
I had a perfectly good second photographer. Your husband had sex with them, and now I can never use them.
Now they're ruined. Throw them away.
Now what?
Yeah, I can't recycle that.
Can't use that person
again. No, it's garbage.
I know that they sleep with grooms.
I also
do want to say, I don't think that many of our clients are listening to this.
God, I hope not.
We are making absolute jokes. If my second ever slept with your partner,
fired.
I'd give you every dollar back.
Yeah.
100%, without question. Mm-hmm. I would give you every dollar back.
Yeah.
Out of sheer embarrassment. Mm-hmm. That I brought that kind of drama into your life. And also, I would say, I will shoot your divorce party for free.
No problem.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, I'll bring a bottle.
100% I'm shooting your divorce party for free. Mm-hmm. I would just want people to always think like, oh, you did
everything you could.
Everything that you could have to make me feel better about this scenario. I don't think most of my clients would even come back to me about it. I think they'd be like, do you believe that this happened? And I would be equally as mind blown.
Yeah. Let's hope. I feel like we do exist in a market that we're in, Kitchener-Waterloo, Cambridge, Guelph area.
Near Toronto.
In southwestern Ontario. That this is less of a problem where we live and more of a problem like...
Where do you think it's a problem?
Like it's... You know how like in the States there's like... That's like a southern shotgun wedding kind of thing?
Stop.
In Canada, it's almost the opposite where if you go further north, things get weirder in that kind of like...
For sure.
Like marrying your cousin kind of thing.
A little bit.
Not to say that's exclusively
Slim
that.
Slim Pickens a bit maybe. Slim
just a
Pickens.
Bit less of a population, less of a rule, more of a cowboy kind of mentality up north.
I'm trying to picture, like I always love to pigeonhole a scenario, try to picture.
Put it in the box.
Let's be creative, you know? What kind of a person...
Mm.
And honestly, I have hired all kinds of weirdos to work for me, like all kinds. I had a girl that came to a second shoot for me that admitted that she's never sent her children to school.
What?
Never. She's never sent her children to school.
How do you?
I said, that's illegal. Like that's actually, she doesn't homeschool them.
That was
she
my
doesn't,
follow-up.
She doesn't school them. They're not in school. And when I said, how does the government not say anything about that? She said, if they've never been, they don't know.
Wow.
Like if you were to pull your kid out of grade one.
They'd know about it.
They might send like a follow-up.
Mm.
And that's just such a random aside. But it's to say, we don't always know the people that are working for us. She had a great portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
We had a call. This is before I had a good body of photographers to pull from that I know are all solid.
Mm-hmm.
There honestly weren't that many professional photographers in our area for a really long time. And now there are like 5 million. And I could choose one that I know is normal.
Do a good job.
But like, you know, even it comes down to like, what are they going to wear to this wedding? What are they going to say to this mm-hmm. couple? Mm-hmm. Like I've had second photographers say all kinds of unhinged things. Now, when I hire a new one, I literally tell people these stories just so that they understand like the standard that I'm looking for.
This is the line?
So just so you know, one time I had a second photographer tell the bride that her dress was really flattering on her body type and it was like a curvy girl. And I was like, now I use that story and I tell second photographers, do you feel like that's an appropriate thing to say?
No.
If you saw a beautiful plus size woman in a very flattering gown, would the word flattering come to mind? Or would you just A, keep your mouth shut, always a good option.
The best option.
B, holy shit, that's the nicest wedding gown I've ever seen and you look bomb in it. Nothing about her body.
Strong follow-up.
Great option.
Yep.
C, say the dress looks flattering on you. Yes. And that's like my new interview skill. Like, which one of these ones would you choose?
And usually it's C, but this instance, it's not C. It's A or B.
It's not. But you don't know who you're bringing in all of the time into these scenarios.
But also I think that speaks to the vetting you have to do with any job.
100%.
Whether it's like you're hiring someone to do your editing, you're hiring someone to, you know, do your emailing for whatever it might be. You just hired an assistant. I'm sure that's going to be a slow process. The
Denise,
one thing.
Shout out to Denise.
My business friend Dave has always taught me is you hire slow and you fire fast. So in this instance, you would fire that person immediately. And in the future, you take this as a story, as Lindsay said, and you bring it slowly into the vetting process of
hire
when you want to
find. Hire slow and fire fast is some of the best advice. And wow, I wish I had heard that one before.
So
now, I do like the idea of hiring slow and firing fast. But unfortunately, like I would say one of the most common issues that I hear from photographers that they have is hiring seconds. Because you're hiring somebody that's like running and gunning for a day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're getting paid $30 to $50 a day, I think is probably roughly the going rate for we're in Canada. I don't know. The numbers are different here also. It can be really, really challenging to hire. You're trying to find somebody who has their own gear.
Yep.
Who you can trust to show up.
Most of the time a car.
A car. You know, a good sense of like just the world and things that you should or should not say out loud. Like just good judgment.
Yeah.
Good problem solving skills, because I would say one of the biggest things that we do on a wedding day is we're constantly solving little problems here and there. Small, big, whatever. We're always solving problems.
Mm-hmm.
You need them to be a good photographer.
Mm-hmm.
You need them to not be shooting for their own portfolio, which is one of the biggest issues that I find, is that I'm always finding photographers that they want my job.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, but I already have my job.
This job is taken.
This job's taken. Lindsay Coulter, she's taken. So if you could be the second photographer, that would be so sick. And there is an art to being a really strong second. And it's usually being like at an exact 90 degree angle from wherever I am at all times, or looking at what lens I'm shooting on and shooting on something else completely differently.
Yeah.
Or if in the one scenario that I say, please just be me at the same time, if I'm like really not feeling well and I need like a second set of eyes or whatever.
You step in.
In all of that, if I have to start considering that my seconds are going to start bopping people, I'm worried. And like, listen, Tim, actually I have a question for you. Do people ever... Do bridesmaids or family members ever try to bone you at weddings?
No.
You're lying.
No, I also don't have a very good sense of like.
Oh, that's not
someone
true.
Flirting with me?
I think they have no idea. They are, because I've seen it happen.
When?
That people are flirting with
when
you at weddings,
this
and I'll say, "Oh, that person's totally into you." Whenever we get seated at tables with other guests, and I'm like, "That person's into you," because sometimes they'll seat us at the singles table because they don't have other people.
Got it.
And I've absolutely noticed wedding planners.
Okay.
And other guests and bridesmaids.
I just think people are being
flirting.
Friendly. Because I
absolutely not.
Okay.
Listen, also, maybe pump my tires a little. I do it to myself. I just think if somebody's being that friendly, they probably want to bop.
Right.
Maybe that's my inflated sense of self.
It could be. It could
I
be my deflated sense of self as well.
If I return, if I return, I'm married happily. Really like my husband.
Yeah, long-term relationship.
However, I also think wearing a wedding ring to a wedding makes me that much more likely to get hit on.
Interesting.
groomsmen literally will look me up on Instagram and send me DMs after the wedding. Okay. I think it's the combination.
Not weird. Of, sorry, that sounded like
no.
But no, like that's wild.
It's the combination of love is in the air.
Mm.
Your friends are getting hitched. Mm-hmm. Life's coming at you fast. Things are changing around you.
You got to scramble to keep up. Yeah,
and you're drunk. Mm-hmm. And I think that photographers, and I hear this a lot from other female, specifically female wedding photographers,
okay.
that they get hit on by groomsmen and stuff. All the time.
Wild.
And I think that they probably see us as an easy mark because it's really low pressure. Mm-hmm. The other thing that I've realized is most men don't love to flirt if they know that they have to close. Not closers. Men are not closers. Hmm. That's a fact.
Hmm.
That's a fact. Men are not closers. Women are closers.
That's very fair.
Men are not closers. Men love a flirt. They love a little bit of attention. Very rarely is a man going to be like, so what are you doing later?
Right.
At the end of a wedding. No, they just want somebody to flirt with. But got then it. I always wonder, I've never been in a position because I started shooting weddings with Taylor.
Okay.
So I've never been a single wedding photographer.
Right.
I have always wondered what would happen if I returned? Would I be this person that somebody's on Reddit about? Like, I'd be this person. Be like, I'm not.
Replace second photographer with self.
I have had one groom. I have had one groom.
Okay.
That to this day still messages me.
That's wild.
Anytime,
oh, I know who that is.
You know. It's, anytime it took a I post,
I know who that is.
Anytime I post like a cute pic, anytime I post something,
yeah,
you know, anything. Not business related, that's more personal, that's about me,
yep.
that's a photo of me, I get a DM.
Yeah.
A groom. That's going to make people feel bad. I hope you don't listen. If you're thinking, oh my God, is that my husband? I
it's
guarantee
not.
You it's not.
It's
I
not.
Guarantee you it's not.
It's not.
But I have always wondered what would happen.
Yeah.
Could you imagine? So listen, we haven't gotten into any advice here. What would your advice be? What would you say like to this, say to this photographer?
Okay. So we're starting with the person who was,
who's wondering, should I give them a refund?
Yeah.
How would you handle the response?
Well, this is a phone call. This isn't an email, I don't think.
Lord have mercy.
It's a email to schedule a phone call.
Yeah.
Be like, hey, that's Woof. Wild. Thank you for letting me know. I had no idea, obviously. Let's get on the phone and discuss your feelings and my feelings and our feelings about this situation because this is something we can't change now. But let's see if we can remedy this in some way, whether it's monetary or it's another shoot or it's some kind of public hanging.
Public hanging,
we'll
I think, is the option.
Kind of solution to this because it is, at the end of the day, customer service for your business, for yourself, as well as for that client.
Truly, yeah. I think there's also, I always like to question. So I see a lot of really bad advice on the internet, as I'm sure you do too. Mm. If you're in a Facebook, photography Facebook group, I guarantee you've seen some of the worst advice in the world. It's just getting tossed out there willy-nilly.
Yeah.
One of the things that I think is very interesting is the lack of context. There's always context missing.
Truly.
Are you in a position financially to give them a refund? Was it a $25,000 package or was it $1,500? Actually, I feel like if you were shooting a $25,000 wedding, you probably are in a better position to give a refund than the $1,500 person.
Let's hope.
The $1,500 person, generally in the experience of the people that I mentor, they're living paycheck to paycheck of their own business, right?
Yeah.
So if you didn't charge enough to be running your business sustainably, offering a refund could really screw you.
It's also
really put you in a bad place.
It's also probably the space you'd most likely be in where the situation happens because you're hiring seconds who are probably not as experienced
not
or
as great.
Great as a human being as they should be.
Yeah. So
get on the phone, talk to this client, message the photographer in question and be like, hey man, or lady, or person.
Do you want to die today?
Do you want to die today, motherfucker?
Do you want to die today?
Oh, so you want to, you chose violence.
You chose to die.
So
you have made me look like the asshole.
Yeah. Let them
how
know
dare you.
Fully how inappropriate that was, and that you'll never be working with them again. Make sure you relay that to the client. Let them know that that's never going to happen again. Not that they care because their wedding is
You'll never remember them.
But you need to save face as much as possible and just be a customer service god.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's the thing. It generally comes down to empathy led.
Mm.
You lead with empathy. like in, I think most scenarios, like, oh, this client is driving me absolutely bonkers. And I just truly can't even grasp why they would be upset about that. You know, like not about this, you know why they're upset about this, but like some other scenario, if you can lead from a place of empathy where you can try to really put yourself in their shoes of like, how would I feel?
Yeah.
And what kind of an outcome would I be looking for?
Right.
There's always two parts when somebody's asking for a refund. One is that they need money. They genuinely need money. And two is that they are just pissed. That's the only thing they know what to ask for.
Yeah.
So if you cannot provide them with a refund, or you just truly don't feel like it's an appropriate thing to do, because this photographer did actually do the whole wedding. They shot and delivered a delightful thing. Like, I don't know if you've had this, but I have shot weddings that the couple has broken up before I deliver the images.
I wouldn't. I don't think I've been, I'm sure that's happened. No, it has. Oh, no, it happened. Sorry. It did happen, but they were already, the photos were delivered. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. But before, that's wild.
Yeah, I've had it happen before, and then the photos are never downloaded. They're never opened.
Got it, got it, got
it. I reached out and said,
"What's up?
Are you, we good here? Because I want to make sure that they had like
seen them, download them. Are they happy? Or they just not say anything?
I'm no longer responsible for these images also, right? If I don't want 6 months to go down the road and then they leave me a Google review saying Lindsay never delivered the files, right?
Like, check your spam.
The nice thing is I use PickTime, and PickTime, you can actually see if they, if the email was delivered, if it was received, if it was opened, if it was, you know, downloaded. There's so much more detail with PickTime than there is with a lot of other galleries. So big ups to that. But yeah, I reached out and I got an email back, not from the bride or groom, but from a parent saying that they had separated. And if there's anything we can do about a return of funds,
what?
Because they don't need the photos.
Don't care.
I was like, I did my job.
Yeah, my job was done.
My job's done.
Did you talk to the venue?
Every contract in the world. Hopefully, every wedding photographer's contract will show you that, like, oh, well, I did my job.
Yeah.
And I did it well. And these photos slap.
That's
and in fact,
thing.
Now I'm really sad because now I can't even post these photos that are gorgeous. But I think that, like, is a very similar question of, like, can I have a refund, a partial, whatever? And what I said was, you know, empathy led. The bride was my client in this scenario.
Yeah.
I said, if the bride wants a family shoot or something, because now she's really sad. She didn't get any great photos of, you know,
family
she was expecting lots of really nice portraits of her family and all of that. And now it's too painful for her to even look at.
Yeah.
There was like an infidelity thing that happened relationship as well. So like she literally never opened the files.
Okay.
So I said, do you want to do a family shoot?
Yeah.
So I did a shoot with her and her sister. And then she actually inquired with me for her next wedding.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's very sweet. You turned that into a plus.
I think, you know, there's always a way to like, what's a thing that we can meet somewhere in the middle that doesn't involve me bankrupting myself and making my business unsustainable?
Exactly. That, like, just bending over for anyone who wants a refund.
Sure. Oh, you asked? Like, listen, I'm just not that scared of a bad Google review. That's the other thing. Mm. People make such bad choices because they're afraid of Google reviews. I truly don't care. Come at me, baby. I'll use it. I will use it as a teachable moment.
Okay.
If somebody like, you know, came and said, hey, you know, this would be a bad one to get, I guess, as a Google review. Your second was boning my, you know, that would be really bad.
Yeah.
But like if somebody were to come and say, you know, we hired Lindsay, then we decided to cancel our wedding and she wouldn't give us a refund on the deposit. I'd be like, perfect, good teachable moment. No, I would not give you a refund on the deposit because it was a non-refundable retainer for a reason. You signed an agreement like an adult.
Yes.
You knew that that was a thing when you made that decision. And while I feel for you and the amount of money that you have invested and now you're like walking away from, that's not on me. So if that Google review ever came, it would actually be super helpful for me to have more reasonable clients find me.
Yes.
We would have this intersection of—
It's a bit of a tightening of the funnel of—
Totally.
Verified, validated clients.
People would read that and be like, oh, that's like a beach is too sandy kind of person.
Yeah.
You know, somebody that leaves those kinds of reviews.
And also, this is a professional human being, you know? This isn't a giant box store of weddings.
No.
This isn't the Rona where you just like, I don't have
people
a receipt.
People are so much more likely to ask for a refund from us than they are from anyone else. That's what I've learned.
That's true.
Like you're not going to the dress shop asking for a refund.
Because there's a brick and mortar situation. They see it as, oh,
they
have overhead costs.
Real. I'm like, I actually find that to be one of the worst parts of this business is is that people treat us worse than they treat corporations because they think they can get away with it.
Yeah.
And the reason that they think they can is because they have in the past.
Yeah.
Because someone bowed down and said, sure, no problem.
Someone kissed the ring.
In a situation where they should have said, I have a business to run.
Yeah.
So it's not a hobby.
No.
Like, our ability to live our lives, to pay our bills, to like go on vacations and like eat food, it is hinging on us running businesses like businesses and not like a little hobby. And yep. It's a lack of respect. So should we move on, Tim?
We've answered this, I think, as best as we can.
Yeah, we really.
Let us know. We're going to do a post about this on Instagram. So mm-hmm. leave us your comments.
I'm curious. What would you do?
Yeah, I don't. I guess we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. Question number two. How often? So for some context, I'll just give some ideas here so we know where we are in space and time. The Fujifilm X106 mm-hmm. just came out last week in February. People are losing their minds about Fuji. It was the most sought after Micro Four Thirds camera of 2020. And then 2021, 2022, it blew up on Instagram and, mm-hmm. and TikTok because people were like, oh my God, this is such a cool aesthetic camera that like looks beautiful and takes like beautiful film style images because of the retro
profiles
that are mm-hmm. baked in. So Fuji's awesome. I have that camera. I have the X100V. It's been a delight as a travel camera. But the new one came out. People are losing their minds again about Fuji. And the question is, how often should I be upgrading gear? It seems like everyone has the newest and best gear, but I can't afford it.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is actually one that I saw so much in the past week, like mm-hmm. both on, I've been on Threads a lot lately. I've been on a real Threads kick.
Okay.
Sidebar on Threads.
What?
You want to talk about social media hacks? Mm. Anytime Meta comes out with something new, you should just jump on it. Give it a little go. Mm-hmm. So Threads is now being pushed to Instagram.
That's right.
So if you're scrolling through Instagram, you'll see somebody's thread pop up. I have gotten so many followers on Instagram and Threads because I'm just popping my own unhinged little thoughts on there. So I would probably jump on Threads if I were you.
All right, I'll do that today.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the gear you have right now and when the last time you upgraded or added to it.
Yeah. So important. This is one that like people were getting so toasty about what kind of gear they should be getting. The X100V. Why are these YouTubers trying to sell us gear we don't need? It's their jobs. It's literally their jobs. They got hired to do that by a brand. And my thought on it was, would you prefer that they pump all of their money into targeted ads? Or would you rather that they pay your colleagues and your fellow content creators to use the gear and tell you what they think of it in as unbiased a way as they can?
As they can.
So that would be my preference. But anyways, what kind of gear do I shoot on? So currently I'm rocking in R6 Mark II. Mm-hmm. I also have an OG R6. Mm-hmm. That one's going to have to go soon. Mm-hmm. The reason actually that the reason that I still have the original R6 is because I had some issues with the Mark II.
Yeah, and you have to repurchase it, right?
I'm hedging my bets. Yeah, I've had two Mark IIs now.
Yes.
I had two original R6s. Mm-hmm. I've had issues with all of them. Mm-hmm. So that's a little bit sad.
Yeah.
So I just like to have... I mean, the colors and everything all look the same. They all work with the same lenses and everything. Mm-hmm. It's been software issues that I've had of them freezing up. Yeah. So I like to have two different options.
Good call.
Just, you know. I still have the R6 Mark II. Truthfully, like, I would probably love to have the R5. It's, like, just a really mass
R5.
Really a gear person.
Yeah.
It's so big. It's just probably too big for me. Yeah. Like physically it's too heavy.
And the file sizes are massive too compared
really
to the
R6. Really unnecessary. Yeah. I mean, you can choose like a smaller RAW or whatever, but anyways. True. And then I just like, I only have the lenses that I need, mm-hmm. that I use, and the flashes that I need and that I use.
Yeah.
And... yeah, I personally don't feel like you should be, if you are upgrading your gear often, there's probably something wrong with your flow.
Yeah. You need to give yourself,
what are you shooting on?
I'm still rocking.
You have so many cameras. Oh like, God, I'm looking around this room, like, and this isn't even all of them. Like, this is there's three in here, and these aren't even your main cameras.
These are the ones I used to use video for.
This is just the backup set.
These are the backup set, which is going to be a permanent set for us going forward, which is great to have all these old cameras. But I bought these in like 2000. 14. That's the, so the main camera here you're looking at is the Canon C70. It's a cinema camera. I bought that last year.
That's a real one.
Amazing because it shoots raw video, which allows me to just like a photo, edit the white balance and post. So I don't really care about white balance anymore, which is amazing. But yeah, so that's my main video camera I use for all the weddings that I shoot video for. And then for photography, I'm rocking the R6s, which I upgraded to from the Nikon ecosystem in 2020. So
do you have the V1? I don't know if that's how it's spelled, the R6. Like, is it like, or the Mark IIs?
No, just Mark Ones. Yeah.
Yeah, you got lucky, man.
They're still going strong. I'm probably not going to upgrade again this year. Maybe next year, maybe the year after, see what they come out with. If there's a Mark III or an R7 or I don't know, there's an R8 and R10. I don't care. But the point is, they work really well for me and I've dialed them into a point where I understand their limitations, what I can do with them in low light, how they react to highlights. And I like them because they're simple and they work. So I don't upgrade gear outside of like things I like to do for fun. So I did buy the X100V 2 years ago. It's my main travel camera. It's my everyday carry.
I'm so jealous of that camera.
It's such a fun
thing. I was one of those people that was like on the wait list for it forever. Yeah. You'd think, I've got a husband that's a YouTuber. What the heck? Why didn't I get that one?
He's home from Japan. Does he have the 6 with him or no?
He is sending it back right now.
What?
Like, so Fuji, this, people don't know this, but Fuji doesn't give people cameras.
No.
It's actually like every camera company has their own ideas about how they handle payments to influencers.
Right.
In the YouTube space and Instagram, whatever.
Yep.
They all handle it differently.
Okay.
There is no, like, you know, thing across the industry where they're just handing out gear to people. Okay. It's... We do have an awful lot of gear that comes through our door.
Yeah.
And a lot of it Taylor buys and then resells. A lot of it. Like the majority, I would say, probably. He's buying and reselling. And the brands then will pay him for the video maybe afterwards. Or they'll pay to sponsor an experience. Like if he's going to Iceland, you guys are going to go film a landscape tutorial. He could have that sponsored by Nikon.
Yeah.
There are ethical guidelines that are actual laws that prevent people from paying for reviews. So like, I'm surely we should have Taylor come on and talk about the specifics of it. But first of all, if you're following a YouTuber, you should hopefully trust their judgment and trust that they're not a jerk, that they're not going to lie to you and say, I've been using this camera for 3 months and literally it hasn't come out yet. Like, or if they're like, I'm replacing my entire kit with the X106. Well, first of all, that's silly.
Yeah.
That's truly silly. If you're a wedding photographer, you should not be shooting on that camera as a main body. That's not the right move. So again, context is important. Using your own little brain for a quick little second and understanding like these are paid reviews in one way or another, but they're not always paid for with the camera.
No.
They might be paid for with a trip. They might be paid for with a video later. And maybe the YouTuber is using the one review as a way to get in with the company. Like literally, who knows? Every single person is different. You just have to find a YouTuber that you trust and you think is ethical.
And also take everything they say with a grain of salt. Like if Taylor switches camera systems, not to be a pack on Taylor, but
he's
a great example of someone we know personally. He changes camera systems like maybe once a year.
Just to try and change things up.
No, that's wild.
That's insane. That's
he does
truly
it because
insane.
He knows the limitations of the cameras he's worked with. He has good relationships with those brands. And so he can get either cameras on loan to use for camera reviews.
Like I think currently he's with Sony.
Yeah.
He was with Nikon for like 10 years, like 10 years. Nikon was what we all shot on because we were, sharing lenses and stuff. It was really helpful for us to all be on the same.
It was helpful.
Then Taylor switched to
Canon.
And I was not on board because I really liked what I was shooting on. I was shooting on the D850.
Yeah.
As my main body for a really long time when everybody was already switching to mirrorless. And I was like, I'm going to wait and see because I'm not like an early adopter by any means. I'm like a quasi early, like I'll let you guys all figure it out and tell them the beta issues that you run into and then I'll jump on. I'm very happy that I do that because my clients rely on me to have gear that works 100% of the time, not 80% of the time, right?
Yeah.
So you know, then Taylor shot a wedding with me using the R6. He was second shooting for me, which again, you also have to consider, like, these photographers aren't all necessarily testing out gear as the main shooters at weddings. They're not insane. I hope that they're not insane. But Taylor usually will come and second shoot a wedding or something for me, something that's a little bit less pressure. And I used it and I was like,
I love this. This is great.
This is photography for dummies. Yeah. So it's almost too easy, actually. Like, I sometimes wish there was a little bit more analog involved in the R6, which is why now I've started incorporating film into it. Mm-hmm. I think you have to be asking yourself, do I need this piece of gear? Mm-hmm. Is it that much more revolutionary?
Are, like, things, listen, falling apart?
If you are still shooting, this is maybe a hot take.
Okay.
If you are a full-time
yes,
professional photographer in any space.
Okay.
And you are still shooting on a DSLR.
Mm.
You should stop that.
You should think about it.
You should stop that. You should stop that, because that's like sticking around on film when digital came out, just because you're a purist, or it's expensive, right? To make a change, it totally is expensive. Mm-hmm. But if there's a system out there that could make your work so much better.
You could nail autofocus 99% of the time. It's why just would a lighter we not be system. Doing
that? Yeah. Maybe if I was a studio photographer. I'm thinking of the fantastic photographer in our area, Hillary. She's a studio photographer. Mm-hmm. And she and I were talking about, she has, you know, $30,000 worth of Nikon DSLRs.
Right.
She's like, I know that I have to switch over to a mirrorless system.
Yeah.
And I don't want to, because that's going to cost so much money. She works in a studio. Her lighting and everything is all completely prescribed.
Absolutely.
She doesn't need to worry about quick movements.
No.
You know, maybe if she's shooting with, like, a dancer in her studio or something, she's worried about that. But, like, that's fine. But you're shooting with families, with dogs, with babies.
In controlled environments.
In weddings.
Yeah.
In events.
Yeah.
No, like, if you're not in control, you should be shooting mirrorless.
Yeah.
So I think that's one thing, like, you should be upgrading. But heck, if you've got a great mirrorless system and you've got lenses that you care about and like, just worry about something else, man. Get a little hobby.
Yeah.
And like, get like literally a hobby and stop worrying about gear so much. Cause that's just, I think gear is just like the most boring thing. I just think
it's a necessary evil in many ways.
Literally, it's a necessary evil. And then once you're good, you're like, I'm good. Can we talk about literally anything else? Yeah. You know, like, that's how I feel. And I do feel for the people that, you know, are inundated with advertisements. Mm-hmm. Well, everybody, we're all inundated with advertisements in all forms of social media.
Absolutely.
Buy a new camera bag, buy this new filter, buy this new preset pack, buy this new. Mm-hmm. You have to use your own personal judgment and say, will it make me a better photographer or more money or my clients happier?
Yeah. And can I use it in a way that it gets out of the way so that when I'm taking a photo, it's not about adjusting settings and not being in the moment. You want it to be kind of a extension of your hand and your body and your mind, and be something you can have a conversation with while you're like actually taking photos of other things happening.
That's other thing.
That's an amazing thing to do. And that's what I feel like I have with the R6. If I was to switch, that'd be another six weeks of like trying to get back up to that level of understanding the camera that intuitively to get to a point where I can take photos without actually thinking about the settings and are things switched on me? Do I need to adjust things or mold myself in a way that's uncomfortable to get the photo that I want?
Okay.
One of the points,
more
thought, because you mentioned that you like to let your friends and your husband beta test technology so that you can get the best out of that.
You guys screw it up first, you know?
Great advice if you're looking to get into the mirrorless system or upgrade your gear.
Mm-hmm.
Go with not the newest model, go with the one before the newest model. That way the bugs and kinks are worked out. Just like iPhones, just like any other smart device.
Wait a little bit.
Organizations will keep those firmware updates rolling out because they know that there's a big, you know, group of people behind the last generation of images or cameras. So they'll keep them up to date up to a certain point. I'm not saying you should buy like a 10-year-old camera. That's wild. That's probably not a good idea.
Not a great idea. I mean,
but if you get
it's
the
a
one
good
just
idea
before,
if you're just like doing it for family stuff, but
exactly. But if you're getting a generation before the newest one, that's the sweet spot. That's where you want to be in because A, it's way less expensive to upgrade. B, the bugs and the issues are worked out. And C, cameras are so good these days that no matter if you have the generation
one or two behind the current flagship of whatever that brand you're with, it's going to have the same bells and whistles that every other camera has, because they're so competitive. They're so similar. The upgrades that come out with new cameras are so micro in terms of like improvements that you will not notice a difference.
No. No, like between the R6 and the Mark II, like there are tangible differences, like where the on off switches and stuff like that, that's actually kind of annoying when I'm shooting on both of them, that sometimes I will do a little thing to turn it on or off. And actually that is changing dials that I don't want to be changing.
Yeah.
But like the bones of these cameras, like if you look at them side by side, they look the same. Like the photos, the images that are coming out of them are the same. One thing that I will say is I think it's important early enough in your career to maybe not switch switch systems entirely.
Okay. Okay.
But to try other cameras out, even for your personal work, even just, you know, for funsies or here and there. The reason for that is I didn't switch from Nikon DSLR for, you know, like I went from the 600 to the 610 to the 750. Rest in peace. What a nightmare camera that was.
Yikes.
To the 800.
Yep.
To the 810.
Okay. You changed
actually
a lot.
I think the 800 might have been back a little bit further.
I think it was.
To the 850.
Yeah.
A lot of them were like hand-me-downs from Taylor. Like those cameras are beasts. A lot of them are titanium body. Like there's differences. The 600 and the 700 series were much lighter, faster, shittier.
Yeah.
The 800 series is certainly the more professional level camera.
Yeah. Closer to like a medium format. Yeah.
Medium format.
The massive image files.
Oh, I was like, I don't know. Yeah,
they had like 45.
What they? Yes, they're massive. Megapixel. They're insane. They're so unnecessary. But they made me worried that I was not a good photographer.
Okay.
That I did not understand photography as a whole.
Interesting.
That I understood Nikon.
Mm.
I genuinely had not held a Canon camera or
same. Yeah.
At Fuji, I had not held another camera until I started actually shooting film. Then I realized, oh, principles are all the same. ISO, aperture, shutter speed, lens.
Same triangle.
Yep. You know, whatever. And I felt a lot more confidence in my ability to pick up any camera and with a little bit of time, figure out how I could use it. Mm-hmm. You know, like I obviously shoot on manual. Well, that's not obvious, but I do shoot. I shoot full manual because it just gives me all the control. So learning where dials and stuff are on new cameras is weird. Canon also, the lenses go in the opposite direction as Nikon. So that's like a weird thing to like to toss your brain around.
Mm-hmm.
I like how conscious I was when I switched from Nikon to Canon about the actual act of making and taking a single photo, whereas it just became autopilot and I was really thinking about my surroundings and my clients and all of that instead of the actual act of taking the photo. And I thought that that would suck. I thought that that would be worse. But it actually was great. So I would say like maybe, you know, it's an expensive thing to do to switch it up just for the sake of it. And also like you just shouldn't. There's no reason to.
No.
But like early days, try other systems to know, did you just stick with Nikon because it's what all your friends were doing?
And
because you
ecosystem.
Had all the lenses, you had all the batteries, that's what works. Like, and that's a valid reason.
It's a great reason
zero
to stick
judgment.
With something. Yep.
Did you do it because it was the best option out there,
right?
Like, damn, how many decisions have I made that I'm like, shoot, I should have done that literally 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I wish I had switched to Imagine sooner.
Yeah.
You know, I wish that I would have upgraded my computer sooner.
Dude.
Like just certain things that like I held off on doing out of fear that I was going to screw it up. And then it ended up being the best decision ever.
Yeah.
So I think there's a balance between upgrading your gear too often and not often enough. But if your business isn't profitable, just you should not be buying gear at all.
Yeah. And if you're bored and you're simply bored, you want to add things up to make things just feel fresh again. Lindsay mentioned that she is including film photography in your packages. It's not even like a thing that like is listed anywhere. It's just something you bring to a shoot.
Do for funsies.
And I did the same thing with Super 8. I added that as part of my video packages
so
without
fun.
Even
including it in any of the wording for the first year. I'm just like, I'm just going to do this. Bring it with me. It makes the day more interesting for me. I get to capture everything in a different medium. And it satisfies that part of my brain that's like, hey, I want something new. I want something fresh. I want to feel like I'm, you know, investing in something without destroying the way I do everything else.
Sometimes our jobs are just too easy.
Yeah.
Like we've been doing this for long enough now that the job just feels too easy. And I never want to feel like a wedding day is on autopilot. Mm-hmm. I always want to have like that butterflies in my tummy, a little nervous to motivating, show up.
Yes.
What am I going to do that's fresh and new? If I've shot at this venue 50 times in the last 3 years, mm-hmm. how am I going to represent it in a way that still feels true to what my clients hired me for, but like them, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And I think incorporating Super 8 is such a fun, well, first of all, it's like the easiest sales feature ever. When I'm like, a lot of the time I'll be speaking to clients first because they hire photography and then videography.
That's the way it goes.
And people will ask me like, oh, so by the way, like, who do you recommend for video? And mm-hmm. I'm like, buckle up, baby. And oh, you thought this was gonna be a quick conversation? Absolutely not. Let me tell you about my friend Timothy Mutha. Let me tell you about my friend Tim Musa. And I think it makes it a much more it's a much easier sell because it's so unique.
Yeah.
And you're, I think, the only person in our area doing it for sure. Like, there's people that do like the Super 8 like film stock,
sure.
where they're doing it from digital and then they make it look like it's Super 8.
Yeah.
Not cool. The experience isn't there. People see the Super 8 camera and they're like, oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. Same with film cameras. Same with
film cameras. You know, people are really excited about it. It's also extremely expensive for you to process. It's time consuming for you to learn the actual camera, to find one that's good, because you're obviously buying a very vintage camera. Mm-hmm. Like, these are not cameras that were made last year.
I have a few of them now. I've been
and you collecting are like them. Frankensteining to the point them together.
Where, I have a few that are just used for parts. I had a foggy broken glass on one of them because I dropped it. Still works. Mm-hmm. Again, that's another thing about these, you know, upgrading in a kind of a lateral way is if it breaks, not a big deal. Mm-hmm. Same with film cameras. If it breaks, it doesn't affect the overall outcome of the gallery or the experience of the bride and groom, unless they're paying for it. But if you just kind of add it on as like a thing that, you know, just started to include because you're quote unquote, you know, you're bored, you want to keep things fresh, falls apart, no problem. But yeah, no, I bought a second body of one because I really like it. It's a workhorse, but I wanted to replace the glass. So I have like a parts department of my wedding video.
Yeah, it's so cool. I think it's really fun. And I think if I was, you know, this person that's getting bogged down by, Fuji X106, first of all, you know what I would do actually? If you're like, I love watching YouTube and I don't know when to start listening and when to not, wait 3 months and see if that creator is still using that camera. Mm. If you're like, I take everything that John Branch says to heart. Okay, like, I love that. John Branch is a very reliable and trustworthy person. Mm-hmm. I like the images that he puts out. Mm-hmm. I like that he shoots with Fuji because I like Fuji. But, you know, is it worth me getting the X106 over the X100? I love that we're calling – now they've, I guess, encouraged the creators to call them 6 instead of V1. Because it was like X100V is what everybody called it.
Yeah, it was the 5.
They were like, it was the 5.
Yeah.
Why did you all call it that? Can you please refer to it as a 6? So the X100V, if they're still shooting on it in 3 months, they actually did like it.
Yeah.
You know, like if you see them shooting their own personal projects on it, they truly meant that. That was not a joke, you know? Again, going back to Fuji specifically, I don't think I actually said this. Fuji does not give people cameras. Mm-hmm. At any level. Mm-hmm. Taylor said that there's like some really cool Japanese photographers that they'll give cameras to. That's it. Like, they're not giving their ambassadors cameras. Taylor's not an ambassador. He's just like a YouTuber that they invited to come to Japan for the last release. He did not get to keep that camera. He had it for a week. He has to mail it back to them because it would be considered in their company a paid review. And they don't do paid reviews.
No.
They like people to say nice things, not because they're paid, but because they genuinely like the product. So maybe do a little bit of research. Literally ask YouTubers. Taylor would tell you if you were on YouTube and you were like, did you get paid for this review?
Yeah.
He'll tell you.
Yeah.
Well, I think you legally have to actually.
Probably.
You have to disclose it if you got paid for the review. Just ask. Yeah. So that would be, you know...
Long answer long.
Yeah, long answer long.
Just hold off. Unless you're shooting DSLRs, like, don't worry about switching to the newest, coolest thing, because chances are it's going to be followed up by something else and you'll just be sad in 6 months when that new thing comes out and you only have the new thing.
Truly.
Truly. This 100%. Has been great. We've almost at the 1 hour mark. That went by real quick.
So fast.
I know. Thank you for being here. Thank you for watching. Like, comment, subscribe, do all the things on whatever you're watching or listening to this on. And we'll be back before too long.
Thanks for joining us, friends.
Bye, everybody. Bye. Bye.